morning, everybody. It's good to be back in the saddle. We enjoyed being off last week. Appreciate Tanner and PD and all of them that filled in and led the worship and everything else. We had a great time, but I'm glad to be home. And then as soon as we're done here, I'm flying to Augusta to finish my round at the Masters. All right. A lot of people were making fun of my green jacket, so that's why I'm saying that this morning. And so I'm going to go try to win my 16th green jacket at Augusta this week. Almost true story. All right, open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 1 this morning. Philippians chapter number 1. Now, I know some of you are going to say that's all you're going to think about the rest of the day. Philippians chapter number 1. Many of you have probably heard by now the attack of Iran on Israel. It took place yesterday afternoon, over 300 ballistic missiles and drones, and praise God, 99% of them were knocked down out of the air. Now, some people have asked and said, does this mean that this is part of the tribulation period, and this is, means all that? No, it's got nothing to do with any of that, okay? There's always attacks taking place or to Israel that we don't even know about. But it shows the sovereignty of God, how God takes care of His people. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, and they're writing this epistle to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, along with the bishops and the deacons. He says, Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He says also, always in every prayer of mine for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And here's the key right here. Being confident of this very thing. What is this very thing he's confident of? That he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What God has started, he will fulfill. What God is doing not only in Israel and the promises he made to Israel, he will fulfill those promises. But may I also share this with you. What God has begun in your lives, what God is doing in your life, the God's purpose in your life, He will complete it. It may be something little right now. It may be something major right now. It may be something that you have no idea about right now. But may I tell you, if God starts it, He'll complete it. So you have confidence in that. He says, being confident in this very thing, that He, God, which began a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's not done with you until Jesus Christ returns or until you die. So praise God that God's the one in control. You're not, and I'm not, and all these countries are not. God's in control, and I praise His glorious name. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are in control. Lord, we see all these happenings going on in the Middle East and in South America and Africa and all these different events that are taking place. Things that we don't even know about, that the news has not never reported. But Lord, none of those things that take place, things in our countries, things in our community, things in our families, none of those things take place without you knowing about it. So Father, this morning we can either freak out about them, we can get worried about them, and we can be so consumed with anxiousness, or we can simply just trust you and continue doing what you have called us to do. Lord, help us to see and understand what your will is for our lives. Lord, help us to look for opportunities in such ways to bring you honor and glory by serving you. Lord, thank you that you have called us. Thank you, Lord, that you've begun the good work in us. But God, thank you also that you will complete that good work when you're ready. May we not worry and be anxious, but may we simply trust you day by day. I know, Lord, in this room there's folks that are dealing with some physical problems right now. They're hurting, and they need a touch from you. Would you encourage them today? Would you strengthen their bodies? Lord, there's some precious saints in this room that are worried about what tomorrow holds. They're worried about a phone call. They're worried about an event. They're worried about a problem in their relationships. I'm asking you, God, that you would give the peace that passes all understanding to them as we place these things in your hands. You are the only one that can solve them, and you're the one that's in control of them. So may we trust you today. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you that you've called us. May we trust you today. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on up, Scott, if you would.
Good morning. I want to talk about some missionaries we've supported for decades here. The Randy and Jeanette Alderman, they minister in Togo, West Africa. And as they describe in their letter, they very carefully didn't reveal their age. They said what some would consider older retirement age, and yet they want to keep going. But they've found that their health isn't great enough to just stay out in a third world country full time. So what they're doing is they're going to be basically stationed out of Florida, and they're going to go, what they say, at least six times a year. I thought, well, that's pretty close to full time anyway. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be more of a support phase. So a lot of these missionaries that have been there a long time, they go and they start a church, and then they start training more and more pastors to keep going out and spreading the word and starting new churches. So they're going to be more supporting those pastors and new churches, and their goal is to build four churches in the next 2 years. And then also, they're going to go out there and keep teaching these pastors. And they have a Bible Institute there, and he wants to keep teaching. But for instance, when he said they can't really stay out there full time, he planned on going back out there in March, but he wasn't able to do it because he's getting a lot of dental work done. And he was planning on leaving today, actually, to go back out there. So let's pray for that and pray for their kind of new way of helping in Togo, and they become part of assisting and relieving missionaries. So for instance, if you're on the mission field and you had some illness or something, you had to go back home, and it isn't a real developed mission, they would go out there and support while the missionaries are gone. So they're going to be doing that and going to Togo. So they're still going to be busy, and they still want to go. And so we're thankful to support someone like that they're going to go, what he said, they're going to go until the Lord allows them to go. So that's so awesome. So let's pray for them that they'd be strengthened and encouraged as they do their new thing. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of supporting in prayer and financially great missionaries like the Aldermans. We pray for Randy and Jeanette and their health and their ability to keep going and doing and supporting the missions out there in Togo. And we pray for the pastors that they would have great success. And they're under persecution. They're under close proximity to terrorism and attacks and things that are a problem most anywhere, but especially there. And we pray for protection of the church in Togo. And we thank you for the opportunity to help and to pray and to be part of your work all throughout the whole world, Lord. We're privileged to do so. And keep us aware and praying for all the missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. Gentlemen, come on forward. We'll take up our offering this morning. I wanted to explain just a little bit in case you're not familiar with what we do with missionaries here at Victory Baptist. What we do is we have our regular tithes and offerings, and then we have what's called faith promise. In other words, people will volunteer. They'll say, God, I'm going to promise to you that if you'll provide this money, I will give it towards the missionaries. So our missionary giving is not through some corporate program somewhere. All the missionaries that we support, you see on the back wall back there, they're all from people who give over and above their tithes and offerings. So in other words, let's say that you tithe $100 today, and you say, well, I want to give some money towards missions. I'm going to give $100 towards missions in addition to my regular tithes. So that's called faith promise. You're promising God that in faith you're going to trust Him to provide the money. Now, we're going to have a conference this year talking about faith promise and helping you understand it. So when all the missionaries that we support, they don't come out of our budget necessarily, they come out of faith promise. So just be aware that when you give to missions, it goes directly to those missionaries. It doesn't go into our church budget itself, okay? So we'll be more clarifying about that as we do for the next few months, all right? Brother Matt, would you please pray for the offering?
Thank you. everybody standing, if you will. If you have a church hymnal there this morning, number 310 in the church hymnal, singing together with the choir, number 310, that glad reunion day. Amen. There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know, when we see the many loved ones we've known here below, gathered on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion day. Y'all fellowship, and the choir is going to come down. There will be children's church this morning, so we will have children's church if you're involved in that. Children's church this morning. We'll sing just a little bit of one more song, number 265 in the church hymnal, Love Lifted Me, number 265, it'll be on the screen. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, am I? Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Melissa, we're going to sing another verse of that. I want to explain just a little bit. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. When it comes to love lifted me, I lift up on my toes. And I do that, and some others have caught on with that, doing that. Way, way, way back when I was a youth pastor in Florida, there was this man named Joe Shelton. And Joe had some issues of life. He just had a lot of mental issues and things like that. And he couldn't really talk very well. But when we would play this song, he got excited. And he got excited because the love of Jesus lifted him out of the miry clay and gave him brand new life. And so when we would sing this song, everybody in the congregation would catch on because he would do it. But during the whole song, he'd be lifting up this whole time. And so we couldn't do that because we were out of shape. And so when it came to love lifted me, we would do that to go along with what Joe was doing. And so every Sunday, you know what song he wanted to sing? Love Lifted Me. And so, of course, we did it. So this morning, and some of us are doing it, if you'd like to join us in Love Lift, if you could hold up your hamstrings that long to do that and join along with us, that's why we say Love Lifted Me. Amen? Anyway, let's sing another verse of that this morning.
All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to
seated. Amen.
he wants us to do for him, and he will accomplish it according to his will and according to his power. So this morning, as we look at the book of Exodus chapter number 23, I want us to realize and understand that this message is not just for the Israelites. This message is for all of God's people this morning. So if you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter number 23 today, Exodus chapter number 23. Now, if you're like me and you start to read the Bible from cover to cover, you get to this point in Exodus where he's just now given the Ten Commandments in chapter number 20. You get to this point and you start getting bogged down with all the laws and the rules and the regulations. And God is giving Moses the direction of how to operate and how to do the everything according to how God wants it run. He says, if you run into this, this is how you deal with it. If this person does this, this is how you deal with it. And he gives them a whole bunch of operating instructions. But right in the middle of all those operating instructions, he stops and he says, Moses, I want you to give the people a special message now. I want you to tell them that I'm not done with them. Now, up to this point, Moses has not rebelled and hit the rock with the staff yet. Up to this point, the people of Israel have not complained and griped. Up to this point, the people of Israel have not rebelled and said they can't take the promised land. They're on their way to the promised land, but up to this point, they're still following God by following Moses. So everything is really good to go. Up to this point, Moses has only made one major mistake, and that major mistake was killing the Egyptian. So Moses hasn't really had a lot of problems, but Moses is still a human being. He's probably around 80 years old or so at this time period. So God is speaking to Moses, and he's telling Moses all these different things and says, Moses, this is what I have in store for you. So that's where we pick up the story, him talking about the festivals and talking about how to handle the seventh day and all those kinds of things. But look at verse number 20 now. Right in the middle of all this, God says, I have something I want you to do. He says, behold, pay attention. Listen to what I've got to say. I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemies, and an adversary unto thy adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing be cast that your young nor your barren in thy land, the number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. He says, listen, if you'll simply obey and follow my direction and you'll pay attention to what I've got and not give yourself to other gods, I will take care of these things. I have a density. I have a destiny for you. Now, we're going to break these verses down in just a second, but I want you to understand something. God doesn't make a mistake when he calls you to be his child. And he calls you to be his child not based upon what you do, not based upon your potential. He calls you to be his child because he loves you and he wants to save your soul. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all his children. We are God's children. We're not just Israelites. We are God's children. And what he's talking about here to Moses is, listen, Moses, I want you to tell all of my children, this is what I have in store for you. This is what I want you to do, if you'll just simply obey me. Now, that seems pretty straightforward. If you do this, this is what I'll do. But if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. My youngins were growing up, and John Lewis got me back for this one day. They were getting ready to make a decision and do something. I said, listen, you're not going to like the consequences from that decision you're getting ready to make. Parents, have you ever said that to your children before? That decision you're getting ready to make, you're not going to like the consequences for it. And I've been telling that since John Lewis was a little boy. One day I heard him and JT fighting, and they were fussing with each other. And John Lewis told JT, he says, listen, you're not going to like the consequences from your decision you're about to make. All right? He had been listening to me, but he'd not been applying it, but he had been listening to me. God is simply saying, Moses, this is what I want you to do. And if you'll do it my way, I will take care of you, and I'll lead you, and I'll guide you. You know what God's telling his children this morning? If you'll just listen to me, if you'll just obey me, I'll take care of what needs to be taken care of. Well, that's all well and good, Brother Brian, but I'm a stubborn child. How many of you are stubborn children? You bunch of liars. Everybody, all of you are stubborn. None of us like to do what we're supposed to do. We like to do what we want to do. All right? So let's talk about God's density for his children this morning. Number one, if you'll show that for me. Number one, there we go. God is the one who initiates the call. We don't seek God. God seeks us. Look what it says in verse number 20 here, chapter 23. It says, behold, God says, behold, I send an angel. And anytime you see the word angel there, it's usually a theophany. In other words, an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I will send an angel before you, and he's going to keep you in the way. He's going to show you which way to go and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. So God says, I am doing the calling. I'm providing the guidance. I'm the one that's going to show you what to do. Just obey me. We don't seek God. We have an emptiness inside of us that we know exists. But honestly, we don't seek God. We seek everything else. God comes to us, and God calls us, and God seeks us. I praise God that he seeks us. I praise God that he calls us to him. The Holy Spirit says, it says, calls us unto him. You cannot be saved unless the Holy Spirit calls you to the Father. But I praise God that the Holy Spirit is calling people to the Father every moment of every day. Have you been called to the Father? Have you been called to salvation? Has the Holy Spirit drawn you to God and said, come and trust God for salvation? If you have, hallelujah. Every single day, God, every moment, the Holy Spirit is drawing people to God. So God says, I have called you. He says, I will send an angel before thee, and he is going to keep you in the way. He's going to show you the direction to go, and he's going to bring you into the place that I have prepared. So God does the calling, God does the providing, and God has the place for you. Now that gives me encouragement. That helps me because sometimes I don't see what God has in store for me. I know he has called me, and when he called me to salvation over in West Germany, way back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, way back when I got saved when I was 21 years old, I had no clue what he had in store for me. I had no understanding, but I knew that he called me to salvation. If he had revealed to me right then and there what he had in store for me in the year of 2024, I would have said, no, thank you. There's no way I'm getting in front of people and talking. There's no way, because I don't even know the Bible. I don't even know the book from Genesis all the way to, I don't know anything about that. But God simply said, I'm calling you, just trust me. You know what? I'm not special. God is calling you too. God has a call to each and every single one of His children. It looks different for everybody, but it's a call. God is calling you. He's going to provide the way for you, and He knows the end that's going to come with it. He who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God's the one who initiates the call. Look at the second thing we see. God is the one who provides the guidance. Look at verse number 21. Beware of Him. Pay attention to Him. Listen to Him, He says, and obey His voice. Provoke Him not, for He will not pardon your transgressions, for My name is in Him. But if you shall indeed obey His voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will be an adversary unto thine adversaries. For My angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. God's the one who's going to provide the guidance. He says, just listen to Him. Just obey Him. You know what that's called? Surrender. Get rid of your stubbornness. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Just simply surrender and obey. But I'm an American. I'm a Swain County resident. I'm going to do it my way. I've got it all figured out. God, I'll consult you when I need you, but until then, I'm going to pull my bootstraps up and I'm just going to keep on doing it. Let me ask you, how good is that working out for you right now? Aren't you tired of butting your head up against a wall and just getting lumps? Aren't you tired of failing? Oh, you may succeed just a little bit, but aren't you tired of getting tired? Aren't you tired of running into obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, and you're wondering, God, you don't love me? And God's up in heaven saying, listen, that's not what I intended for you. I called you. I've told you I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Just listen to Him. I could tell you story after story about my children, but I'm going to tell you story after story about me. I was a stubborn young man. When I was growing up in Albuquerque, we had what's called ditches. Now, they don't have them here, but they were wide ditches, about maybe as wide as from this stage to the very first pew. And inside in Albuquerque, it's really dry, except for when it rains. When it rains, those ditches fill up like that. So I got the brilliant idea one day to take my little BMX bike, and I was going to jump that ditch when the water was raging. Where did I get that brilliant idea? From the idiots I hung out with. All right, we got to talking about it. Here I am, 12 years old, and I've got set in my mind. I loved Evel Knievel, and Evel Knievel could do no wrong in my mind. And I got it set in my mind that we were going to do this. So we were out in my yard doing circles and jumping off little ramps and everything else. And my mom somehow got wind that I was getting ready to do this. So we got our bikes and we headed towards the ditch and we set up a ramp and everything else. And we looked at each other and said, who's going first? And they looked at me and said, you are. I got back about 75 feet. Didn't have a helmet. Didn't have any idea of what I was going to try to do, just except for jump over that raging water and go to the other side. I got ready to start going, and I hear, Brian Eugene! That was my mama calling me. She said, what are you doing? Nothing. Now, we all know what would have happened if I tried to jump that ditch. I would have gone about 2 feet, maybe. right in the middle of that water would have rushed me down, and I'd have drowned and I'd have been dead. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But when you're 12 years old, you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Amen? You have no sense. I praise God that my mama was paying attention to what I was doing, and she saved me from being stupid. I praise God I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me right now, who knows what He's doing and keeps me from doing something stupid. How many of you are just like that? When you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. He provides the guidance and direction that you desperately need in every issue. Not just the small ones, but the big ones. Some of us are on a journey. We're all on a journey. But some of us have our eyes on heaven. Hallelujah for that. But you know what? You can't make it there on your own. You've got to have somebody guide you. And God said, Moses, I have called you. I'm going to provide for you because I know where I'm going to send you. May I tell you, God has called you, given you a guide, because He knows where you're going. How many of you are glad God knows where you're going? You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Look at the next one for me. God is the one who should be worshipped and obeyed in this. God is the one who should be worshipped and obeyed. Because look what He says here. He knew these stubborn people. He says, verse 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor should you serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. You shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. He says, trust me, worship me. Don't get yourself mixed up with all of them. Don't put your, because you're going to be right in the midst of them, but have nothing to do with them. Brothers and sisters, we have been called to be in the world. Every day we contact the world, but we're not called to be of the world. We are called to live in society. Every day we have to contact neighbors and friends and co-workers. There's a whole bunch of junk in our society and things that are going around us, and we have to live in that. I understand that. But you don't have to live the way of the world. You don't have to follow society. If they're vaping, you don't have to vape. If they're committing adultery, you don't have to commit adultery. If they're watching pornography, you don't have to watch pornography. If they're drinking and doing carrying on, you don't have to do that. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean you do it. But Mama, I want to. If your friends said go jump off a mountain and they jumped off a mountain, would you go do it? Sure. Exactly. Whoever said no, praise the Lord, Layla. Praise God for that. You ever, Mom, ever tell you that? Just because all your friends are jumping off the cliff, are you going to go jump too? Brothers and sisters, don't! You ever hear of Bob Newhart? Anybody ever hear of Bob Newhart? I love Bob Newhart. He had this show called The Bob Newhart Show, and he was a psychiatrist. And one day this woman came in, and she was having a whole bunch of different issues. And he decided in his mind that he was going to deal with the issues right then and there. So he says, I'm going to try a new technique with you this morning. She said, okay, I need some help. So he said, what I want you to do is I want you to tell me your problem, and I will tell you how to deal with it immediately. She said, great. She says, I'm having a lot of anxiety about my dog. I just can't figure out. And he said, stop it! She said, okay. I'm worried about my mother and her toenails. Stop it! She said, well, I'm dealing with all these issues. Stop it! She She said, "Why do you keep saying stop?" And he says, "Because sometimes that's the easiest way to deal with it is just say, stop it." Now, I know that issues of life are not that easy to deal with. We have addictions. We have problems in our families. You can't just scream, stop it, because that's not going to work. You need help in dealing with those issues. You need someone to walk alongside you. You need to be willing that you've got the problem. You need God to give you the strength to do it. But brothers and sisters, some of you have got to start seeking that help. Some of you have got to start admitting that you've got the problem, that you need someone to walk with you, because you cannot do it yourself. Stop doing it yourself. Surround yourself with people who love you. Worship God, because He's providing the way. Don't get yourself mixed up in the ways of the world. Attach yourselves to fellow believers. God's the one who should be worshipped and obeyed in this. As you're on your journey, worship God. Obey Him, and He'll take care of what needs to be taken care of. Next one. God is the one who will fight for you. Look at verse number 27. God's the one who's going to fight with you. "I will send my fear before thee," God says, "and I will destroy all the people to whom you shall come, and I will make your enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee." God says, the battle belongs to me. Just trust me. Just obey me. Let me take care of it. Now, we don't have a bunch of Canaanites and the Ike brothers. We don't have all those things right now in life. But we all have enemies. Who's your enemy this morning? Not your spouse. Not your siblings. Not your neighbor. You know who your enemy is right now? You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Your enemy is not a person. Your enemy is a spiritual enemy. And he constantly is fighting us. He's constantly trying to destroy us. But may I tell you, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And who is He that is inside of us? The Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:4 tells us that. Every time Satan sticks his foot out, you don't have to trip over it. Every time the temptation comes, you don't have to give in to it. Ask God, say, "God, help me. Holy Spirit, you're living inside of me. Help me." Well, it's not that easy, Brother Brian. It's easier as it goes along if you continue to rely upon Him, knowing that He's already run the battle for you. He's already won it. God says, "I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to get rid of all those people." The battle belongs to the Lord. You can't fight Satan on your own. You have no power to fight Satan on your own. You fight Satan with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, doing the fighting for you. The battle belongs to the Lord. And finally, God establishes the timeline and the boundaries for His will to be done. Here's the hardest part right here. Look where it says in verse number 29. "I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land be desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land." God says, it's not going to be just one sudden whack and it's all done. He says, "I will do it in my timing." I'm so glad that when He called me to salvation when I was 21 years old, I'm so glad He didn't the next day put me in the pulpit. How many of you are glad He didn't do that either? I've had to grow and I've had to mature and I've had to learn these things through hard times and good times. God has done it on a slow process. And you know how I know God's not done with me yet? Because I'm still breathing. You know how I know God's not done with you yet? You're still breathing. You still have a purpose in your life. There's still something God wants you to do. Do it. But Brother Bright, I want patience and I want it now. Sometimes that patience comes through trial and tribulation. But that's okay. God establishes the timeline. I remember when I was 12 years old, I was in love. Little neighbor girl was 13 years old, and she was a cutie. And all the moments that I had to, I would go to her house, and we would play games and everything else. She loved to play sports just like I did. She liked to read comic books just like I did. And I thought that I was in love. So I went to my mom and daddy and said, Mom, I got to have something important to tell you. And she said, what? And I said, I'm getting ready to marry Susie. I even had a ring that I got out of a Cracker Jack box. I was going to give it to her because I had my mind convinced that I was ready for marriage. 12 years old, you know everything there is to know. Sure enough, I went to her house, and we were out there playing. I pulled out that Cracker Jack ring. I was getting ready to give it to her, and her mama called her and said, Susie, time to come in. I said, wait, wait, wait. And Susie says, wait, I got to go. No. Her mom said, Susie, time to come in. I was devastated. I didn't get to give that ring to Susie. Next day I went back to try to give it again, and Susie said, Mama says I can't get married. I said, why? She says, I'm too young and dumb. God wanted me to be married, but not at 12 years old. God has a purpose for you. But he says, I have a timeline for it. I have it all worked out for you. I've called you. I'm providing for you. I'm guiding you. I am protecting you. I am fighting for you. Just trust what I'm doing. Because my will be done. Just do it my way. Brothers and sisters, do you think that Moses was the only one that had to deal with this? No. Do you think God loved Moses more than he loves you and I? Absolutely not. Do you think God lifted up Moses and said, Moses, you're the only one I want? No. He has a purpose for Ed Martin. Just like he has a purpose for Ms. Birchfield. Just like he has a purpose for Josh Deck up there. God has a purpose for you. He's called you to something. Trust Him. Obey Him. Thank Him for His providence. And just follow and obey His will today. Now, here's the special thing I want to share with you. We talked about it briefly. Iran attacked Israel last night, or yesterday afternoon. And a lot of people are scared and they're freaking out, thinking, oh no, World War III is about to start and all the nations are getting ready to attack Israel. What are we going to do? How's the United States going to react? May I tell you, Israel is God's children. God will protect His children. We need to pray for the peace of Israel. But we need to pray for our leaders that they would make the right decision and not do something stupid. Because this could blow up, but I'm promising you, it's not catching God by surprise. He's the one in control. I can't do anything about what's going on in Israel, but I can sure do something about what's happening in Swain County. You just keep doing what God's telling you to do. God says, I will curse those who curse you, and I will be the enemies of who your enemies are. Praise God, He's the one in control. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. God has a density for you. He has a destiny for His children. Let's bow your heads and close your eyes. And I do that just to give you some pride.